This morning, what I want to talk about is four steps to receive the peace of God. Four steps to receive the peace from God. Many people are searching for peace. That calmness that one's very soul senses and experiences, that sense of tranquility. God promises peace to us from His Word. The promises of God, how many know this? The promises of God are conditional. The promises of God are conditional. How many of you, you have children or grandchildren, you remember this possibly from when you were growing up and you really wanted to do something, and you were told, or you said this to your child, well, you can do that after you clean your room, or after you do this, you can do that. Can I have friends over? Sure, you can have friends over. But clean your room. When we were when we were youth pastors, we went to youth night at camp meeting, which I think used to be Friday nights, and we took our youth. Dave Reaver, how many knows Dave Reaver?
Yes.
He was a Vietnam vet that grenade that exploded right here and blew his thumb off, burned his face horribly, took his ear off, and went through a lot of pain and difficulty. And the Lord called him into ministry, and he was the one that was there that night preaching. And he said this. He said to this room full of youth, and he said, how many of you are 15 years old? If you're 15, stand up. And Nick was 15 at the time, and he stood up. I remember this. And he told every 15-year-old there, he said, clean your room! But nevertheless, but there are conditions on God's promises. This passage of Scripture is no exception. When we follow God's conditions, and the results are amazing, because we can receive that peace that comes from God that He provides. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 begins this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Step number one. Here it is. Rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. Rejoicing means to feel or show that you are happy about something. Yeah. Well, I just don't have anything to be happy about. Not true. Not true. We have things that we can be happy about. The condition that we're given is we have to rejoice. When do we have to rejoice? That's what it says. Are you kidding me? I've got to find something to rejoice about all the time? It's not my word. That's what the word says.
Amen.
The Amplified version of the Bible says, delight, take pleasure in Him. Delight or take pleasure in Him. What can you rejoice about? I would venture to say any of us can stop just a little bit and we can think about something to be happy about.
Amen.
How many of you got up this morning?
Amen.
About half of you. I see that. Thank you. How many of you did not want to get up this morning? Yes. My alarm went off and 6 o'clock came early. Hey, Brother Leroy, can you mute the singers' microphones, please? I'm getting a ring back here. What we do and what we want to do can be two different things. Sometimes we sense despair, we sense burdens, we sense all kinds of emotions, and that's human for us to do that. And we have to think outside of the box to find something that we can be rejoiceful about.
Amen.
Everybody take a breath. Let it out. There's one thing you can be thankful for, you can rejoice about, that you have breath in your lungs. How many of you had a place to sleep last night?
Amen.
Yeah. About three quarters of you. How many of you are going to eat today, or you have eaten today? Yeah, absolutely. I think Annette has it in mind for us to grill pork chops this afternoon. It's not a commercial for Reese's, but she bought them there for $1 a pound. They were really good the other night when we had them. But the thing is we have something that we can rejoice about. But I think the number one thing, and the Amplified says delight in Him. If we don't look at just the physical aspect, because you see, many times what happens is we have things that we go through. We have stuff that we go through. We have life that happens. And many times we automatically gravitate to the physical things because those are the things that are most there in your face. Those are the things that we see the most because we have to deal with those things. If something happens, something breaks at the house, or something happens in somebody's life that we love, then we have to deal with those things. And it's just right there. But if we look in a spiritual context of what we can rejoice about, if we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, that's the number one thing that we can rejoice about. Whenever Jesus sent out the 70, and He sent them out to heal the sick and to do all of these things and to minister to people. They came back and they were rejoicing. They said, "Man, Lord, let me tell you, demons were subject just to the name of Jesus. Let me tell you about all the things that happened and we saw." And Jesus just kind of put a little water on them and said, "Hold on. Don't rejoice just about this, just because the demons were subject to my name, but rejoice." Why? Because your name is written in heaven. The old song, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." It's my name. My name is written down in heaven because of Jesus Christ. It is such a wonderful thing. We can rejoice about who we are in Jesus Christ. And I venture to say, we could do that daily. We can do it often. We can do it always, as the scripture says that we should do. So that's the step number one, rejoice. Step number two, it's from verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident. Gentleness means having or showing a kind and quiet nature. And some people are like, "Well, I am definitely not quiet." Okay, we all have different personalities, but it's not the context of just quiet, but it's having the nature that is kind and compassionate, not harsh, not violent, but having a nature that is gentle. Not talking about how you talk or how you do those kinds of things, but how you are on the inside. Let your gentleness be evident. Harshness is not something that should equate to a child of God. We should not be harsh with anyone. We shouldn't be. We have to be gentle. That's what we're called to be. And it says, let it be evident. In other words, it should be the case so much that other people see it. They see the gentleness of your spirit. That means that you're approachable, because somebody's not afraid that you're going to just lash back out at them, or, oh, well, let me tell you what I think.
Yeah.
What we think and what we say many times should be miles apart. If we say the first thing that comes into our minds, then sometimes we can get into a place where we really don't want to be. So let your gentleness be evident. To who? To whom? It says to all. Verse 5 says to all. Everyone. That means especially to the people that we're closest to. It's amazing, but it is a human nature thing that many times we may not be as gentle with the people who are closest to us as we are to complete strangers.
That's true.
Because we all know the right buttons to push, and other people know what buttons to push. And not that this was a horrible thing, but I've been in a sales or hospitality role in my vocation for many, many years. And so just as a part of courtesy, when I would speak with people, I would say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, or yes, sir. And I would say please and thank you. And I would go out of my way to be pleasant. And this has been a couple of decades ago, and it just dawned on me. I thought, you know, I'm saying please and thank you to these people that I am serving, but I don't know that I do that in my own home. And I felt convicted about that. Not that I was being harsh or just like a tyrant or anything at home, but I thought, you know, I should be using common courtesy in my own house. And I thought, it doesn't hurt me to say please and thank you. And so I've made an effort to try to do that. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Amplified says a graciousness, an unselfishness, a gentle spirit, which is mercy, tolerance, and patience. Patience sometimes is really difficult. How can you have that gentleness in your spirit? When you focus on what you can rejoice about, and that causes you, I think, to have a calm and a gentleness in your spirit, and you think about, man, my name is written in heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. And we can think about that, and that can cause us to kind of have a peace and an encouragement on the inside that is really evident to other people. And then right in the middle of these four steps, we've had step one, we've had step two, right in the middle of these four steps to receiving God's the peace from God is this powerful statement in the last part of verse 5. Right, if you could put verse 5 up there. The last part of verse 5 says this, the Lord is near. And I thought, that's not really a part of the four steps, but there it is. The Lord is near. It means that in the middle of all of these things to getting peace from God, we have to realize that He's as close as the mention of His name, and that He is right there, right with you all the time. Jesus said it this way, I am with you always, even into the end of the age, even into the end of the world. I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. I will be there. He's never far away. And He is watchful over His children, like parents of small children. How many of you have had small children that you've had to watch? And how many know the small children? I mean, you can turn your gaze away for a minute, and all of a sudden, boom, they're into something.
Yep.
I never will forget when this one here was about 2 and a half, maybe, and we were in a store. And he saw these clothing racks, and he wanted to go, and he wanted to hide in the clothing racks. And I went and got him, and I told him, I said, you have to stay where I can see you. Because there are people here that are bad people. There can be people that might want to take you, and I would never see you again. You don't want that. And he said, no. And I think he understood even at his young age. And so, you know, it's like we purpose. We are not going to let our children out of our sight. We know where they are. And there's that watchfulness in the care because they're not, they're dependent upon us. And just like small children are dependent upon their parents for the oversight and for the care, I think we as children of God are also should be as equally dependent upon our Heavenly Father, that knowing that He's there. How many have ever had one of these experiences like, Mommy, Daddy, watch me, watch me. Are you watching? Are you watching? And you better be watching, because if you don't, they'll catch you. I mean, if you're like, yeah, go ahead, and you turn your head, no, watch me, watch me. You turn your head down. They want to see that you're watching them. Or when, I can't remember if it was Nick or Natalie, when they were little and they decided, I think it was Natalie, Daddy, catch me. You know? And they jumped off of a platform or something, and I barely got there in time to catch him because there was just such a trust that was there. There was a watchfulness that we had over our children, that same watchfulness. We can know that the Lord is near. The Lord is near, and He is watching. He is there. Don't ever forget that the Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, you can move on to step three. Step three is, verse 6 says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Anxiousness is an extreme uneasiness of mind or fear about uncertain events that may seem likely to occur. The reason we say may seem likely to occur is because the mind is a powerful thing. And many times when a situation happens, our mind can take a thought and we can develop that situation beyond where it has already developed, and we can think of all the different potentials that might happen with a situation, and it can cause us to feel really kind of uneasy about it. It can cause us to feel just uncertain about it, because it is uncertain. It's unknown what's going to happen, what's going to develop. But the scripture says, don't do this. Don't be anxious about it. Yes, there may be a bad situation that's happened that you have to deal with. But don't let your mind take control and develop something that's not there, because the Lord is near. Four steps to receiving peace, the peace of God, or peace from God. Knowing that He is near helps us. He will take care of everything. It will be all right. Step number four, and you're thinking, well, Pastor, you got through these steps real quick. Yeah, but step number four is a real good one. Present your requests to God.
Amen.
It's conditional. Present your request to God. How you do that? With prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. When? In every situation, the scripture says, in every situation, we've got to give them all to the Lord. We have a foundation, and we have a relationship with the Lord where we can give it all to Jesus. There's an old song that says that, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys, give them all to Jesus. And He will turn your sorrow into joy. That's what He specializes in. Present your request to God. Receiving the peace of God has to do with really our relationship with Him and how we can foundationally go from one place to the next, knowing that the Lord is near, and presenting our request to God. And it's not just saying, okay, God, here it is. We're talking about things that affect us on a deep level. Things that are so troubling. And sometimes we think, I don't know if I can deal with this. No, you can't. You were never designed to deal with it. But He is. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is light and my burden is easier. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I explained this last month, I think, in a message that I preached talking about the yoke, and we had a picture of it and how that in a farming scenario, they may have animals that are dissimilar in size, and what the yoke does is it takes the work and it spreads that proportionately between those two animals, so that you don't just have a rope hooked up to both animals and both of them are trying to pull this massive thing. You have the yoke that binds them together, so it harnesses that load and it distributes the weight so that the bigger animal gets the bulk of the load and the smaller animal gets the proportional load to that smaller animal's size. And what Jesus is saying, he says, I'm the bigger one. I can take on more than you can. If you will let me, just bring your request, bring your petitions to the Lord. Tell me what they are. Well, God already knows what we need. There's a blind man that Jesus encountered. And I've preached this message before. And it's amazing because Jesus is there in front of this blind man. And Jesus asked this guy, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm thinking, Jesus, he's blind. I mean, isn't it obvious? I saw a funny thing on, not funny really, but I've actually... my uncle had this happen. It was on Facebook. It was a picture. It kind of make you laugh. It was like the Lord said, I will touch you and heal you. And then the caption from these people are, well, don't heal me completely because I'll lose my disability check. My uncle actually had somebody to tell him that in a church service. He was a preacher. And he said, well, I don't want to lose my disability check. How many know that if God can take care of your infirmities, if he can take care of everything. He can take care of everything. There have been people that said, well, I can't live by the word of God because my finances will be impacted. It's like, you're impacted already. And you just don't know it in a bad way. But present your request to God. He's designed to handle the bulk of the load so that you don't have to. You don't have to. Present your petitions with thanksgiving. See, it's not just a here's my list, Lord. It is in a spirit of thanksgiving. And Lord, I am so thankful for you, for my salvation, for everything that you do for me. I could never do enough. Could never even attempt to repay you. But in that spirit of thanksgiving, I come to you, Lord, and I say, God, I got a need here. And I need your help. And he is faithful. We're talking about receiving the peace from God. How does that work? You've got this mountainous need. You've got something that God needs to take care of. And what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to exchange this burden. And I'm going to give it to you. And in return, the peace of God is going to come back over this situation. And I'm going to have, instead of this burden heaviness and this feeling that I have, I'm going to receive the peace from God. That's how it works. And verse 7 begins with and. And the peace of God. Anytime you see the word and, know that what came before is connected to what follows. And the peace of God, the peace from God, that peace which is that state of tranquility, the freedom from oppressive thoughts that transcends. It passes all understanding. It rises or goes beyond the ordinary limits of understanding. This is the word of God. It is God's conditional promise to us to receive peace. We can't understand or even contemplate how it works, but if we do these things, know this, that it will work. It will absolutely work. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. It will guard your hearts and your minds. It protects from danger, especially by watchful attention. It's like to stand guard at the entrance of a barrier. Nick, come up here just a minute. So, here's Nick. And the peace of God, once he's done these things, the peace of God comes. Austin, come up here.
Yes.
Since I spiked him in volleyball, then I figure I can take him on now. I want you to come over here just a second. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Man, you're tall. Transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So Nick has done these four steps. He's done these four things. And so the peace of God says, I'm going to stand guard over your heart and over your mind. Yeah. And the enemy comes in. So Austin, you're going to come at me. And you're going to try to get to him. You're going to try to move me out of the way. You're trying to get to him. Go ahead. And he's going to come, and I'm going to say, oh no, you can't go here. Because this is the peace of God. You're not going to get, come on. You can do it. Come on. And see, I'm going to say, no, you're not going. You're not going there. But if he allows anxiety and worry, and he allows the needs to overwhelm him, then the peace of God kind of steps aside because the other has taken over. And then Austin has the ability to come. So go ahead and start. Go ahead and start toward it. And you're just going to reach up and touch him on the shoulder. And then here's all this worry and all this stuff. And then all he has to know is that the Lord is near. And he calls out to the Lord. And the peace of God. So call out to the Lord. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
And then the peace of God comes again. And he says, oh no, you're not coming because I'm guarding his heart and his mind. The peace of God. It transcends. It passes all understanding. Thanks, guys. Give it up for him. There's a watchfulness and attention that is given from the peace of God. So what does the peace of God guard? It guards our hearts and our minds through whom? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. That name that is above every name. And so the question I have for you is, do you want to receive the peace of God, the peace from God? I'm going to go through these steps one more time. Number one, step one, rejoice. Step two, let your gentleness be evident. Step three, do not be anxious. Step number four, present your requests to God. And then it says, and then you will receive the peace of God or the peace from God. And once you receive His peace, then He tells you how we can keep that peace in verse number 8. Let's look at verse number 8. Finally, brothers, here it is. This is where our mind should go. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we've exchanged our anxiety and our thought and our worry and all those things we've given to the Lord, and we start thinking about these things. We start thinking about these things. What does that do? That ensures that the consistent peace of the Lord keeps coming and keeps present in our lives. I am not, when these thoughts come against me, I am not going to develop them into something else. I'm going to think about these things, those things that I can praise the Lord over. Yes, I know that there is tough stuff that's going on here. I know. You look at Daniel. Daniel was in a really tight situation, and he was faced with the situation where if you don't follow the king's edict, then something bad's going to happen. And Daniel goes back. The Bible says that his windows were open and he prayed to the Lord.
Yeah.
He could have fretted, he could have wandered around, he could have worried, and he could have cried out to the Lord. But he continued in his steadfastness with the Lord. And he said, I am just going to keep praising the Lord. Keep thinking about the things of God. Think about the things that you can praise Him for. Yes, I know these things are here, and I know I can bring these petitions to the Lord, but I'm not going to live in this. I'm going to step over here, and I'm going to praise Him. Whatever's praiseworthy, that's what I'm going to think about, and I'm going to give Him praise, and I'm going to allow my mind to go there and my spirit to go there so that the consistent peace of God is surrounding me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, that you are wanting us to receive every ounce of peace that you provide. Lord, we want to exchange the difficulty that we sense or the tough situations, the challenges that we face. Lord, when we do that, you give us the peace of God. We trust you and we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.